Hi, Carolyn. This is Vernon.
Hi.
I was calling to see if you're going to join the Zoom call.
Did you send something?
Yes, Carlene sent it. I want to think maybe been Friday with an
Friday?
email. I think so, but it may have been Sunday. Sometime I think over the weekend, but it should have been an email that he just has a link on your computer. You can tag that will bring you into the Zoom call. Should have been from the Louisa County Historical Society. It may have her name, but either that or Louisa County Historical Society.
I don't think I got it because I would have recognized it.
Okay, let me see if I can send it to you. I think she copied me on it. Let me see if I can get it, send it to you. All
Okay.
right, I'll be right back to you.
All
Okay,
right.
bye. Yeah, she says she didn't get the
I just resent it, but I resent it to the same email, which was CMC that I sent before. So if the email's incorrect, but I believe it's the correct email. I just resent it to you and
okay.
her, so it should be a fresh email.
Yeah, see Annette's and Vita. I don't see hers, but CMC McGee. Check, make sure it's the right one I have. 522. Okay, no, it should have 522 after her name.
Okay, that's why. I'll read that.
I just forwarded it to her. Carolyn, can you hear me? I can see your descriptor, but not getting any response. Are you muted? Can you hear me, Carolyn? Some reason I can't hear you.
Her mic should be on. Her camera's on. Changing audio, I can't hear you yet. I think she's still
Okay.
connecting.
Look at that. Yes, she was.
Okay, I hear you.
Okay, great. Hi there. Sorry about the email address. Yeah, I guess it left a 522 off on the email. So again.
Okay. That's okay.
So how you doing?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing good. Yeah, the weather down here is better than it was this past last week in a way.
I know. It's been terrible. It has been terrible.
Yeah. Did you lose power at all?
No.
Okay. No.
We rarely lose power during a storm.
Oh, that's good.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. We lost it. I guess it was last weekend. I guess it was 2 days we lost it. It started on a Sunday, but
yeah,
came back on. But yeah, last week we had more snow and ice, but the power stayed on. So that was good.
Good.
So first of all, thanks for making the time to talk and agreeing to talk. And did you get the list of questions?
No. Okay. You mean today?
At some point. I'm not sure when those were sent out, but.
No, I didn't get any questions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. I'll go through it and like I said, won't it be no pass fail, not tough questions at all, but just kind of trying to extract it, which you remember. But first, let me introduce that this is Vernon Fleming. I'm interviewing Carolyn McGee, who was a sophomore at Louisiana High School in the fall of 1965. She was part of the group that integrated Louisiana High School back then. So she is calling from her home in Washington, D.C. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And Carolyn, if you would just give a little brief introduction of yourself.
I'm Carolyn McGee. I've lived here for a very long time. I moved here in 1968 after I graduated from high school, and I've been here ever since. I worked for Smithsonian Magazine for 34 years, and now I'm retired.
Great. Thank you, Carolyn. So we're going to be talking about the Freedom of Choice program that allowed you to integrate Louisiana County High School in 1965. So I want to start with first, were there any particular groups or individuals that were involved in your decision to attend Louisiana County High School?
I don't remember any other than my parents who asked me if I wanted to. And so for whatever reason, I said yes.
Okay. So, now, do you recall how they may have heard about it? Were they involved with the NAACP or a PTA or something that they became aware of it or just?
I think they heard about it from someone else.
Okay.
It may have been Vita's mother, as a matter of fact. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I just finished talking to Vita a few minutes ago. Last week, I talked to Joan Qualls, who's now Joan Qualls, Bryce, also Joe Morris, Steve Wright, Kleina Taylor, and Margie Lucas. So we got all of those done. So about ready to wrap up the interviews of those of us who are Black and integrated, but next week and the week after, we'll be interviewing some of the white students who were there to get their perspective. So trying to get a full perspective on this. So so when you were, I guess, asked by your mother to attend and you agreed, what was kind of going through your mind or what were your expectations before you
actually got there? I had no expectations. I had no idea what I was doing. I just said, okay.
Now, did you have any classmates that you talked about coming to Louisa and whether or not you asked if they were going or were interested or any discussion at all with any of your classmates from Richardson about your plans to go?
No, okay. No one.
Okay. Do you feel you had a choice about attending Louisa County High School?
Yeah, I probably did. I just said yes, and I went about my whatever I was doing. So
okay, did you have any apprehensions about leaving, you know, friends at Richardson, or you were kind of looking for a new adventure and new friends?
Well, I probably did at the time because I was close to a lot of people at AG Richardson, so I probably did. After I made a decision, or once the decision was made, I just went with it.
Okay. Now, had you been involved since you went to Richardson for 2 years, your eighth grade and ninth grade year, were you involved with many organizations, activities at Richardson?
I don't remember. Okay. Well, I probably was, but I don't remember.
Okay. Now, let's think about that first day. Now, did you ride the school bus to school?
Yes.
Okay. So when you got on the bus, what did you experience?
A lot of stares and whispers and, you know, shock.
Were you the only African-American on the bus?
Yes.
Okay. Was there any problem getting a seat?
No.
Okay. As the bus got closer to school and started to fill up, did you have people sitting next to you?
No, I never had anyone sitting next to me.
Okay. Did anyone have to choose to stand versus sitting next to you?
I'm trying to remember. I don't think so. It wasn't a crowded bus.
Okay. So you got to school. What did you experience when you stepped off the bus and into the hallway at school?
You mean like my first impression?
Yes.
Well, let's see. I thought it was very clean, very new. They had a lot of new stuff that was not at A.G. Richardson. Yeah, that's what I thought. It was painted. It was, you know, the lockers were, you know, the whole thing. It was just very different from where I come from.
Okay. And what about the students?
I don't really remember that much about the students. When I first walked in, there were a lot of, you know, once again, whispers and stares. But other than that, I don't remember a whole lot about.
How would you
describe? No interaction, I can say that. Okay. No interaction with the students.
Did you feel comfortable, uncomfortable, nervous?
I think I felt a bit threatened. So yeah, I was nervous. I was apprehensive, I think.
Okay. Did you see any familiar faces at school?
I did. I think I saw Klima Taylor and some other people, but I don't remember who exactly. Okay. But I do remember Klima. I did see her.
Now, of the white kids that you encountered, did you see friendly faces in the crowd or were they neutral or unfriendly?
They were not friendly. They were just, they pretty much ignored, other than the staring. And I did have someone say to me, "You don't belong here." But other than that, they pretty much stayed clear.
Okay. As you went through that first day of classes, did you share any classes with any other Black students?
No.
Okay.
It was just me.
Did you require any assistance in finding any classes? Did you get any help in finding your classrooms?
I think I probably did, but I don't really remember.
Okay. And thinking through kind of the first few weeks, the first few months, were there any, do you recall any white students who were friendly towards you?
No.
Okay. What about teachers? Were there any of that?
Not so much. No.
Okay. Were there any students who were unfriendly?
A lot of them.
Okay.
Well, most of them, actually. Yeah.
In what ways were they unfriendly? Why did you say, why do you say that?
Well, I had things thrown at me. Some guy spit on me once. Just, you know, that kind of thing. And as far as the teachers were concerned, I had teachers who never called my name during roll call. They just marked me present, but they never called my name. They never called on me, so, you know.
But they called other students' names?
Yes, everybody down the list, but they did not call my name.
Wow. During unstructured time, like study hall, cafeteria, what were those times like?
Actually, they were pretty quiet, study hall, quiet. Lunch was the only time I interacted with anybody was at lunch. That's the cafeteria because there were other Black kids that had lunch at the same time. So at least I had some people to eat lunch with. So, okay. Yeah.
Now, were those, I guess you had several who were, I guess, juniors, like Joe Morris, Steve Wright.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Margie Lucas. So, and then yeah. Below you was Kleina, Joan, and Beulah.
Yeah.
Do you recall during that first year of any teachers or administrators approaching you to ask how you were doing, if you needed any help?
No.
Okay.
No, nobody asked. Nobody, no.
Okay. That's you're not the only one. That first year also, as you kind of looked around at your classmates, your white classmates, do you feel that you were equal to them intellectually and economically? And again, I know there's, you know, variety there, but as far as looking at them in a general sense, did you feel less than or inferior in any way?
I don't know. I think I probably did because they had so much more than I did.
In what way?
In way of the school itself, they had books, and they had a library that had actually they had books in the library. They had a great gym. They had the school was beautiful. It was just beautiful. And was all the things that that the Black schools didn't have. We had, I mean, even the desks, they were, you know, practically new, and we had hand-me-downs. So it was inferior for me, yes.
So looking at the, I guess, individual students, I know it's maybe generalizing, but if you kind of look at the average white student, did you feel equal to them from an intellectual standpoint or economic standpoint?
Well, inside I did, but you know, yeah, I did.
Okay. At A.G. Richardson, how were your grades there? And I'm gonna follow it up. Did your grades change when you went to Louisa?
I definitely did because it was a different style of teaching. And like I said, they had books, you know. They had class on the first day of school, and I wasn't used to that. I didn't have any books when I went the first day. I had nothing. I just had a notepad, you know, to take notes on, but I didn't have a book because no one ever told us what books we needed, nothing, so.
Do you feel that the white kids got support from teachers that you may didn't get?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes.
You ever feel that you were graded unfairly?
I'm not going to say yes to that question. I think it was, I think they did the best they could with, by, you know, not calling on me or not acknowledging me. They just, you know, it was not, there was no interaction really in class. So
now going to extracurricular activities, did you attend any school events after school, football, basketball games?
No.
Okay. No. Did you have any interest to do that?
No. Okay. I did not. Riding the bus, spending all day in school and then getting home, that was enough for me every day.
If you had wanted to go, do you think you would have been welcomed?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Now, as a sophomore, by then kids were probably starting to drive, or maybe not drive, but they were probably going out to school dances and things of that sort. Did you ever have any interest in going to any dances?
No.
Okay.
No.
What about homecoming and prom? Did you have an interest in going to any of those?
I did go to the prom.
Okay. Your junior year, senior year, both?
Junior year. Okay. I went to. Yeah, I did.
Okay. And how was that? Any negative or positive experiences?
Well, it was okay. I mean, I think I had a good time.
Okay.
Because
there were more blacks that second year.
No, I did not go to my senior prom.
Not your senior prom, but you went to your junior prom?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Now clubs, did you participate in, you know, clubs at Richardson? You know, be it yearbook, newspaper, home ec, whatever, FHA.
And yeah, I think I did home ec. Yes, I did. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did you have any interest in participating in any of the clubs at Louisa?
I wanted to, but I didn't.
Why not?
Well, I just didn't.
Okay. Were you ever asked to join anything or?
No.
Okay.
And never encouraged to.
Okay. Do you feel like you may have been, or you would have been rejected had you tried to join any of the organizations, particularly thinking about that first year?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. Did you hold any leadership positions at Richardson, like as far as class office, your freshman or ninth grade year, or eighth or ninth grade year?
Oh, no.
Okay. Now, as you looked around and saw the white kids, you know, in holding class officer positions and other leadership positions at the school, did you have any desire to do that or regrets that you couldn't do that?
No.
Okay.
I didn't really want to, no. Because I didn't want to be, I mean, I knew I wasn't wanted, so I decided that it was better that I just not do it, so.
Okay. About your grades, how did your grades change?
They went down, okay. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you come in contact with any teachers from Richardson or fellow classmates from Richardson that first year that may have asked you about your experience in Louisa?
I'm sure I did. I did. Probably some people from church or something. Yeah,
okay. How did you respond when they asked about it?
I think I said it was okay.
Okay. And what kind of reaction did you get from your peers, your Black friends or adults, about you going to Louisa? Was it positive support or was it?
Surprise.
Just surprise?
They couldn't believe that I had done it. Yeah.
Okay. So were they supportive or were they more questioning, why did you do that, and maybe condescending that you made that choice?
No, not that at all. I think I think probably a little afraid for me in a way, you know, or they were concerned, I think, that I had done it. And I remember someone asking me once, how is it? And I said, and I think I said, it's terrible, but I'm going to survive it.
Okay. Now, did your parents talk to you about your experience that first year?
Yeah, but I didn't really tell them how bad it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have any thoughts of leaving and going back to Richardson?
No, I didn't.
And why would you have not gone back? Why were you pretty clear?
Well, once I had made the decision to do it, I had to keep going. I couldn't go back.
So you didn't want to be defeated. You were didn't want to give in to what maybe some of them may have wanted.
I guess, I was, 15? Right. Who knows what I was thinking back then?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So during that time, you know, there was a lot of civil rights, you know, marches and things going on in the South.
Yes.
Do you recall any discussion at the school or anywhere in Louisa about those events, or was it pretty much not talked about?
Pretty much not talked about until Martin Luther King was killed. And we, you know, there was a little march to the courthouse or whatever. And I did that. But no one ever asked any questions at school about it. They didn't even talk about it. So it was like it never happened.
Okay. Now, speaking of the town of Louisa, do you recall any situations that made you feel unwelcome at any stores or places in Louisa?
Oh my God, yes. A lot.
Share something about what
you go into a store and you get followed around and you pay for something and they didn't put the money in your hand, they put it on the counter, that kind of thing.
Okay.
The usual stuff.
Were there any places that you could not go because you were Black?
I'm sure there was, but I guess I just never went, so I didn't know.
Okay. Thinking back to, you know, that decision you made, you know, agreeing to go, how did that impact your life, making that decision to go as a 15-year-old to an integrated Louisa County high school, and comparing that if you'd chosen not to go, what were the advantages you, looking back, you see in making that decision to go and staying versus not having attended at all?
Oh, wow. I guess the fact that I stuck it out, I made a decision, I stuck to it, no matter how bad it got, I went every day, and I was really happy when I graduated. I can tell you that. I was very happy. The day I graduated from high school, I was happy.
Happy because you survived it and accomplished that, or happy to leave?
Happy all, yeah, happy to leave, happy that I accomplished this, and happy that I would never have to go back there ever again in my life. And I've never been back, never.
Wow. So how do you think that may have benefited you? Granted, you know, self-esteem from accomplishing that goal and not quitting is good. Were there any other benefits of having experienced that?
Well, I guess it prepared me for a lot of after I left home. But then I realized that the situations, the people that I met once I left Louisa, it was completely different. People didn't, I mean, by then everything was integrated. So it wasn't like a shock to any either side, that people just sort of blended together. So I had a lot of Black friends, but I also had white friends too. So, and I guess it did, going there did prepare me for that, because I'm not sure how I would have been able to make friends with people that I was never in contact with, of a different race than mine, if I hadn't gone to school in Louisa.
Okay. Are there any negative impacts of having gone to Louisa versus if you had stayed at Richardson?
I can't say that there really is, other than the fact being happy to not have to go back and see any of those people ever again in my life. No.
Okay. No. So have you had any contact with any of your classmates from Louisa since you left?
No.
Okay. Looking at that overall experience, what kind of questions would you want to ask some of your white classmates? If you could sit across from them at a table and, you know, especially some of those you had a lot of contact with in class or other places, but you know, they were around you daily almost, what would you ask them?
I don't know. I mean,
Okay.
I really don't know. I don't even know I probably wouldn't be sitting across the table from any of them. So, but no, I don't have any questions. They were who they were. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm going to be talking to some of them. I'm not sure if I've got any who are sophomores. Let me take a look. But we want to try to interview them. Actually, as one have agreed so far, Brooks Besley. Not sure if you remember him.
Vaguely.
Okay. And we try to reach out to a Steve Sheridan and a Nancy Maddox. No, she was a ninth grader, but Steve Sheridan, Brooks Besley. But also we, you know, trying to get some from each class to ask them what were they told before we arrived, by their parents or by teachers, about what to expect and how to behave. Because I heard a lot of others that I've talked to said they felt invisible, that, you know, they were kind of ignored. Not everyone, but, you know, at least majority felt they were invisible. And I'm curious whether or not there was some.
It's true. That is exactly how you feel, invisible. I mean, it's kind of like you don't breathe, you know, the entire time. I think that I remember feeling so relieved when I graduated that now I can breathe again. I can actually breathe.
And what did you do after high school? I know you said you left Louisa.
I went to school here. I went to a business college here.
Okay.
And well, I stayed for 2 years and I wasn't learning anything. So I decided, well, it's time for me to go to work. So I went to work.
Okay. So I want to, as I said, we try to, you know, get a different perspective. We try to re-find some teachers, but unfortunately, most of those are deceased.
I'm sure. Yeah.
50 years plus ago. So
yeah.
We haven't had a lot. There's two ladies who were new teachers as a chance that they, you know, might, you know, be in the late 80s or 90s and might be able to do it, but we haven't had success finding them yet. Again, whatever we capture, we'll be happy to share it. And for this interview, it is being, you know, recorded, and there is a Carlene, who's the executive director of the Historic Society here, is can either send it to you via email or send a USB drive physically. And also there's a release form that we need to get your signature on also, just to make sure you know, have permission to post it to their website.
Sure.
So she'll be sending those to you separately, both the release form and sending you record your copy of the actual recording, just to make sure you can listen to it and see if there's anything you want to change, delete, you know, redact. But, you know, I think we didn't, you know, call any names, so there's no one who should be offended by anything that was shared.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you want to share that I didn't ask?
I can't think of anything right now.
Okay. As I talked to some of the others, you know, they would love to get together once we get past this whole COVID. And I know you say you don't want to come back to Louisa, but if you ever change your mind, but I know some of the others said they would like just to have a little mini reunion, which is only 10 of us, to, you know, meet on a social basis at some point, be it summer, fall, or even next year, whenever we get past this virus and it's safe to come together once again. But was that something you would have an interest in doing, or you would want to
pass? Probably not. Probably not.
Okay. Well, we'll let you know anyway if
okay,
get to that point, just to see if there's any interest. But at least, you know, I talked with Vita just a little while ago, and you know, she's in New Mexico and said she would like to come back, but we'll see how that goes. But yeah. Carolyn, thank you so much. I really appreciate you doing this.
Thank you, Brian. It's a pleasure meeting you. My sisters remember you very well.
I would love to see them again. I know they may not want to see me, but I would love to be able to.
Yeah, because I said, do you all remember Vernon Fleming? And I said, oh, yeah, he's really nice.
Well, that was nice of them to say that. And I remember them being very nice, too. And yeah, my impression that they, you know, I never met your parents, but it seemed like they did a great job with you all.
Well, they were wonderful parents. They were. Yeah.
They raised some wonderful daughters.
Well, we tried, and well, I thank you for saying it. You know, we, when they got sick, and we took care of them at home.
That's good.
And they were great. We missed them terribly.
Yeah.
Well,
again, thank you, Carolyn, and we'll stay in touch, and I'll keep you posted on how this project goes, and whatever gets captured, published, or whatever we decide to do with all this data we're collecting, we'll make sure you're in the loop so you can read it and see if it's accurate the way it's presented.
Okay, I look forward to it.
All right, really. Hey, you take care. God bless.
Okay, you too. Take care.
Bye now.
Bye.